had a very pleasant evening, and a member of the executive from the Trades and Labor Council, who was on the committee, accompanied me back to the hotel, asked me in to have a nightcap, and I thought I was on guard against everything, but I didn't see him put a Mickey in the drink. This actually happened, because we were meeting the cabinet the next morning, and with the role I had played in our own meeting, this was to endeavor to put me, and it did. I couldn't get up in the morning. In fact, I didn't. When we had arrived there in the boat, we were going right to our meeting, so that we just dropped our things all pretty well in one room. And this person tried to keep me in the room after giving me the Mickey, but my determination, I had to get back to my room. And I got away, and it was like a nightmare, wandering through the halls of what's the hotel in Victoria? you know, the oldest hotel. The Empress. Wandering in the halls of the Empress to get to this room where I left my bags. Somehow I got there, and I remember knocking on the door and asking for my bags, and the boys that had the room there were in bed, but one got up and he gave me my bags. The other one later told me, he said, when I heard you, he said, oh God, he said, I wish I'd gotten up. Because he said, when I heard you, I thought, oh, May is drunk. Which I wasn't. But I was under the influence of this, they were called them the Mickey, whatever this drug was. And I somehow got back to my room. How I did it, I don't know, because like I say, it was like a nightmare. You know, you had these dreams where you're wandering all, and you can't find your way. Anyway, when morning came, the phone rang to wake. We'd left messages for the phone to be waked. I tried to get up. I really tried to get up. I really tried to dress, and I couldn't. With all my determination, I couldn't. And nobody. And of course, they went to the meeting, and I just didn't turn up. And after the meeting, this was when the chap who was in that room had heard me and had misunderstood. This was when he came into the room, and he took one look at me, and he says, my God, you've been drugged. And I don't know why I've been drugged, but I said, I just couldn't get up this morning. Oh, he was indignant. And when a couple of the others and the one who was responsible for it, when they came in and looked at me, they got scared. And I'm telling you, they had a doctor in there pretty damn quick. I don't know what the drug was, and I don't know how strong it was, but it might easily have been an overdose. But I could have died there because nobody would have known. And it's my strong constitution again, but and of course the idea, another follow-up was to use this when we got back here against me, mm-hmm. that I had gotten drunk and I couldn't, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This was going to be used against me. And I had to phone for something to the Trades and Labor Council, and this party asked me how I felt. And I said, well, I don't feel too badly now. But I said, I never felt so much like a person being drugged, or some words to that effect. So I got the message across that I knew what had happened. I couldn't make any accusations, openly or otherwise. But I certainly stopped him, because then when I went down to the Trades and Labor Council and met this person, the way I met him, he knew perfectly well that, for instance, like I started to smile as I met him. And then I let my face freeze, and I just stared at him. I just say, "You dare." And so he never did. And in a roundabout way, I heard that that was what he had intended to do as a follow-up, but to discredit me.
And was it because you were a militant?
Because I was militant. And as it subsequently turned out, he was an agent of the of big business, as we would call an agent provocateur.
Okay, well, story. wow.
I think you've got a little bit of history there.
Yeah, I've got a few more questions.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so just to review,
I was shop steward in the beginning, and I've forgotten what I was first on the executive. And then after I returned from the Yukon, the next election meeting, I was made business agent.
Is that a paid position?
It was a paid position, but it was elected.
And would you receive, like, the same wages as when you were working in the industry?
I've forgotten what it was. It was enough to... Mm-hmm. It was certainly not to... You didn't have any to throw away, or enough to live on. But,
and what was your major work as business agent?
Well, you name it, and... Mm-hmm. With everything to do with the union, with the running of the office, with the we didn't do anything without the executive had the right to carry on the business in between, but certain things had to be referred to the union. Policy had to be referred to the union, and any new innovations, so on, you referred to the union, and you put forward your point, and then you called for.
Did the union, during the war, did you have like a no-strike policy during the war?
I believe that was a general policy, wasn't it? A labor policy.
Of the BC Federation of Labor Union. Mm. It was more or less, it was gentlemen's agreement, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, yeah. Well, after all, I mean, it was everything for the war effort then.
Did the union do any specific things for the war effort?
I don't believe, as a union, that we did.
And,
I mean, we didn't have the money for it, first thing. It was, I've forgotten what the percentage of the dues had to go into the international office at that time.
Were there any layoffs, or did men move into, like, waiters' positions? After the war, when they came back, was there any kind of shake-up in the union because of that?
Not while I was still with them, but of course I wasn't there too long after the war.
And was turnover a big problem in the industry in terms of organizing?
No. Most of the workers. For one reason or another, were at least went along with the idea. I don't recall that we ever had any instance where, in the rank and file of the union, where anybody was violently or in any way actively opposed us. Not as such. I mean, everyone in the union had the right to his own politics, as far as that goes. I'm sure that political understandings were brought into the union individually.
People I've talked to said that you and Emily were—they described you as communists. Were you communist at that point in time? Or
I suppose you could say I was.
Okay. So were you like a party member? Or were
yes.
And did that, was that one of the reasons why you were attacked so heavily by like the right wing?
Not for that reason itself, because I suppose it had its bearing, yes, but it was the fact that we were perhaps going a little too fast for. Because remember, well, like I say, this high official of the Trades and Labor Council with whom I came in contact on that trip, he was a representative of the employers,
mm-hmm.
and that was that. And still is throughout the labor movement. You still have agents of the employers, and they go up, they work up as high as they can. You had the same thing happening in political parties.
Did you become active in the Communist Party through your trade union work?
Yes, it would be the yes.
So that's like sort of how you radicalized beyond it.
Yeah. And one would lead to the other because you can't do labor movement without it is political.
Yeah.
It is political action.
And did that kind of political process give you a collective framework out of which to do trade union work?
Yes. Yes. Oh yes, definitely. Yeah. Because as such, I mean, I had. Access, direction to different studies and so on, you know, that gave me a deeper understanding into the background of the labor movement.
In terms of the other people who were really active in the union, were most of the people also either Communist Party members or
no.
CCF members?
No. Most, I would say that the majority of the union members were just people who, when came election time, voted for somebody who took their fancy at the time, or because their dads did, or whatever reason people voted for. I remember when my first vote was a liberal vote because my dad voted that way. But I never voted for either liberal or conservative again.
Right.
See, about the time I was in Montreal and Toronto and so on, about the time the CCF was becoming active, and the progressive ideas put forward, they struck me as having as being sensible and in line with facts.
Were there many women on the executives and bodies of the union?
Was it mostly women? In our union, yes, we were predominantly women on the executive because the membership was predominantly union. But as far as the union was concerned, we made no difference.
Mm-hmm.
They were. It was the type of work they did.
Do you feel that the fact that you were a woman helped you to organize other women? Did it make them more maybe open to talking to you about problems than they might talk?
Oh, I'm quite sure it did, because one thing that I guess I was a good listener, because many of them came to me with their problems, not always union problems.
And the women who were active, were they mostly younger women or older women or married, single?
Remember that? I think that I would say the slightly older women who had been in the industry for a while were the more militant in the sense that I suppose, like myself, they had a deeper understanding through their experiences. But the younger ones, they had the them of youth and so on.
Did Did you find that the women were generally quite militant?
Yes.
Do you have any ideas why? Like, that militancy existed?
Well, I suppose it was part of the whole movement of the move for women's rights. And while women had worked in this industry for a good many years, this was one of the, and it comes out of the domestic, at one time I guess they were sort of considered as domestic workers, considered even domestic workers, very lowly, very menial, and something that only was for women, etc., etc., etc. And, but this organizing and getting conditions was part of fighting for the your rights.
So there was sort of that kind of women's consciousness.
Oh yes, oh yes, definitely.
Did people talk about that at all?
Well, I don't know to what extent it was talked about.
But was it something you were conscious of?
Yes. What I remember going on the radio one time, but something I can't remember what it was about. I just recall going, it was something tied in with women's right to work or organize or, and something to do with domestic. I can't quite remember what it was all about, but I remember.
Do you remember what radio it was?
No, I don't remember. I don't know, there weren't as many radio stations. There may have only been the one radio station then, I don't know. That would be along about 46 or somewhere in there.
Was that in part in response to layoffs of women?
Well, the fact that I was a union leader was one of the reasons for me being chosen to have this. I can't what this discussion was now.
The responsibilities of women in their homes, like outside the workplace, in terms of taking care of kids and housework and stuff, affect their activity in the union?
Well, it did to the extent that where there were children, I mean, there was always the difficulty of somebody to look after them. And during the war, there was a certain amount of, there were places for them to leave their children, but that dwindled after the war, as you know, because there wasn't the support for it. After all, the government was predominantly male, and they wanted to put the little woman back in her place.
Yeah, right. Did women talk about child care at all?
I suppose we did. I don't recall now, but I know there was nothing that we wouldn't discuss when the question came up. Not necessarily, it wasn't necessarily in the union meeting, but...
Did women raise any other particular kinds of issues, like maternity leave or sexual harassment by employers, or equal pay, was that an issue there?
Well, I don't recall just how, what we achieved in this respect, but these things all came, were all part of the picture. We were, you know, fighting on the various issues, but trying to take it from a realistic point of view rather than an extremist point of view.
Did being a progressive help you in terms of having an analysis of women's rights, too?
Oh, yes, I think so.
So you were able, because of that, to bring that into...
Definitely. Oh, yes, it did. It helped me immeasurably. I always was a reader, and... what am I reading now? I'm reading all the President's Men. I don't always read that type. I read lots, like a good mystery, too. But I always was a reader, and then to find various books and so on these subjects, I'm just an endless number of books you can go to and so on that gives you insight into so much. Always, of course, relating it to reality, to your own experiences, and made it so that I could understand things that had happened, which I hadn't perhaps understood at the time.
Did the union agreement include any special issues like equal pay?
I don't recall specifically. Just, I do know that it was, that the wage scale was good. Mm-hmm. And it certainly wouldn't have allowed for inequality on job. A job was a job, and didn't matter who did it.
Did you have different races working within the union?
To some extent, yes.
Yeah. And did employers try and use racism at all?
We didn't come in contact with it too much. There was a lot of work to have been done still in the restaurants, and quite probably we would have come in contact with it more and more as we went farther afield. But we had different. There were a lot of Greek people who were in the restaurants. There were Chinese or other nationalities, English, you name it. That we weren't concerned with who or what they were. We were concerned with the workers' conditions.
Women in the union ever sort of get together and meet as women, I guess?
Not as such, no.
And were there other organizations for working women at that time other than union?
I don't recall now. Certainly not like there was later on. I mean, there was very little. I mean, remember, this is just the sort of the uprising, the process of. I just happened to be a pioneer.
And in terms of the men in the union, were they supportive of women's rights, and did they have any problems with, or sort of?
I didn't come in contact with anything like that. You were a trade unionist, but male or female.
Yeah. Was that true? Did you encounter, your union was predominantly female, so in a way you could sort of expect that, but on the Trades and Labor Congress or in any of the labor bodies, did you encounter any sort of prejudice against women?
No, I don't recall being aware of any. I do remember, now I recall that trip to Victoria against that Bill 33 was just before we went to Milwaukee, because when we came back and one of the members of the committee made a report to the Trades and Labor Council, left out so much that he made it on behalf of the committee, I got up and made a minority report and brought the house down. And as a result, there was a heated discussion. I'll never forget that. It was just one of those things, you know. And then there was a heated discussion after that. And as a result, whereas the leadership of the committee was going to let it go at that and let the government do as they saw fit, another committee was elected to go over to Victoria and carry on the fight. Now, I wasn't part of that because, as I say, the trip to Milwaukee, the convention intervened. I would have to be there at the time this was going on in Victoria. And I've forgotten we defeated the most reactionary parts of that anyway, as I recall. I don't remember details, but generally, we put a few spikes in there. I believe so. Yes, I believe so. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's begin to tie in, huh?
Do you have anything else that you'd like to say?
Well, I can't think of anything specific right now. I suppose, like I say, tonight or tomorrow, something may come to mind. But all I can say is that if this is any help in any way, I am more than happy to have been able to do this little reminiscing. It's really been an experience sitting here reminiscing on some things I've forgotten.
Mrs. Martin, speaking about her trip to the convention in the United States.
Yes, it seems my recall was a little off as far as names were concerned. I referred to McDonough as the person who was ambushed before the convention. And then later I referred to wearing a McDonough pin. So something didn't jive. Anyway, as I thought it over after, McDonough was the man who was being nominated for president. And I don't recall the name of the man and his wife who were ambushed. But he came to the convention specifically to nominate McDonough for president. And of course that was quite a highlight, his entrance, and as I referred to it before, was quite a highlight of the convention. And they didn't lose by too many votes. I think that's about all I can say about it. That gives the correction.